Breaking news today on Seculo. Kamala confirms America's biggest fear.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You heard in that tease, and folks, I think this is scary stuff, that Vice President Kamala Harris has confirmed to Americans really our biggest fear. I want you to listen. Now, this is on The View. You know, she's starting to do interviews now. But the interviews are in very unique places, I would say. So it's trouble when you go to The View and you get asked a simple question. Like, for instance, the question she got asked on The View. I won't even say it for you. I want you to be able to... Are they going to be able to hear the question, guys?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So hear the question from The View. It's not a gotcha at all. It's kind of like, what separates you from President Biden kind of thing. Take a listen.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact. Yeah.
Okay. Now, if not a thing comes to mind, and you're owning the decisions that have an impact, so the big decisions, would you have maybe designed the Afghan withdrawal differently? Maybe you would have said, you know what, we're doing this too fast. We've got young troops on the ground trying to secure an airport. We were not prepared for how quick the Taliban and ISIS-K would be able to move on the airport. Even the Taliban was not able to provide us enough information on ISIS-K, who they blame for the attack at that gate, which led to the death of 13 American men and women soldiers who were trying again to let the right people inside the gate to flee Afghanistan. But we also know that because of that horrendous departure from Afghanistan that looked so poorly planned, not only did many of our allies and even Americans, remember in the first part of this, we had to start working on getting Americans home, but many of our allies in Afghanistan who we knew would be on the top kill list of the Taliban, they were left behind as well. So they weren't allowed through the gates. So we not only did it lead to the death of 13 Americans, we've got documentation we will show you in the next segment of the broadcast from one of the FOIAs we've been working on since 2021, just days after this withdrawal. And you know what it's going to show? It's going to show the Taliban sending out legal warrants to all of those Afghan interpreters and soldiers who fought side by side, risking their life with our American troops, and we left them behind. What kind of message does that show from our military and our country to the rest of the world when we ask you to join in battle with us, Will?
That's right, Jordan. And really, what we want to hear from the audience today, too, is we're going to go through a list of things that we see as failures by the Biden administration and whether or not she's owning them, because she is, based off that interview on The View. But there's a chance we're going to leave some out because there's quite a few. So what do you think the biggest failures of the Biden-Harris administration have been? And why do you think that she's owning them and going to move forward? Call us at 1-800-684-3110 and let us know what you think the biggest failure of the Biden-Harris team has been that she has now owned moving forward.
And what you remember, she has said nothing. So all is game here. Any kind of policy decisions, domestic, foreign, maybe it was regional. I mean, all of those are on the table. And we tried to compile as many as possible that we'll go through. But don't be afraid if yours might or might not be on our list. We want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. And it shows you that work of these FOIAs. Folks, it was filed in 2021, and we're still getting unbelievably scary information. Support the work of the ACLJ today. We need your donations at aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation. All right, welcome back to Seculo. Remember, we want your calls. It may be on our list that we get to today. It might not. We'll give special shout outs to people who even thought about issues that maybe didn't even make our list. Now, we kind of categorized ours by different immigration issues, foreign policy issues, but I don't want you to be afraid because, hey, it's a ding, ding, ding if you also made it, if you're getting one that is on our list that we haven't gotten to yet. But there's so much to think about when she did an interview that said, I would change nothing. Didn't even say she would change like the approach to the issues. All she said was, well, I'm a different person. But I'm a different person who would have changed none of the policy means you're not so different at all if that's where your mind is. I want to remind you, so we talk about the withdrawal of Afghanistan. It's probably one of the lowest moments in the Biden administration. Not only did we lose 13 American troops, young troops, the scenes were so reminiscent of Vietnam and this kind of pushback. Remember, we thought we had months before the Taliban and other terrorist groups would be able to seize Kabul. So we thought we had a lot longer time to plan the evacuations. And of course, instead of it taking 30 days, Will, I think it took three. Was it 3 days, right?
The entire withdrawal took about a week, but the Taliban was there almost immediately. Yeah. And we saw the chaos that ensued. We saw the helicopters getting people out of the embassy, which they had even said, you're not going to see another Saigon. That was the words of the administration. And it was almost carbon copy imagery from that. But I think we should also play this from Kamala Harris because, you know, she doubled down on an earlier statement to some degree. This was with an interview with Dana Bash in 2021 during the withdrawal. And this is going to be Bite 5, guys. This is what she had to say to Dana Bash about the decision making then when all the scenes were unfolding. Let's play it.
Yep. You just made a really big decision. Afghanistan.
Yes.
Were you the last person in the room?
Yes.
And you feel comfortable?
I do. And I'm going to add to that. This is a president who has an extraordinary amount of courage.
So she said she was the last person in the room on the decision of the withdrawal. And she is comfortable with that. That's what she said while all of this was going on. And then we know she said on The View that nothing comes to mind in terms of what she would have done differently in the past 4 years, three and a half, really. But Jordan, you were mentioning and teasing out to the audience that our FOIA request, which went out on August 30th, really the last day of that withdrawal, because we knew that we needed to get in quickly and try to get them to preserve information and get it to us as quickly as possible.
Right.
But then we had to sue about a month later. The State Department, the Pentagon, the ODNI, Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Central Command to get documentation. And we've been getting documentation for years. They've been producing documents. But this, as we've said many times, you're looking for the nugget in the gold mine. Unfortunately, it's a very dark nugget that we had to find. And this is what we got.
That's right. And so this is what happened. You know, we filed, again, our FOIA just 4 days after that incident at Abbey Gate, killing 13 Americans, injuring others. And part of our FOIA was about the withdrawal and leaving our translators, those Afghans who bravely fought side by side with our U.S. military, leaving them behind, not taking into account their families, their children, or them themselves, and what would happen to them once they would be identified, as they would easily be so, by the Taliban and groups like ISIS-K. How are we going to protect them when we did a full withdrawal? We didn't keep the military base. We didn't keep the huge airfield. Donald Trump had always said, you know, when he talked about withdrawing from Afghanistan, he never meant no troops in Afghanistan. He meant there would be a major presence there in a protected zone and control of the largest airport. Why? It had strategic significance both inside Afghanistan, but also in regards to China, Iran, and Russia. But Joe Biden didn't agree with this. So out of this FOIA, which we file on the 30th, we then get a letter. Now, this letter, here it is. We put it on the screen in Pashtun. So this is from the Taliban. Remember, they took over the government immediately when we withdrew. And this is a summons. It is a summons that was dated just a few days after our withdrawal, September 5th. Okay, and the September 5th summons was from the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. It is a this is a translation of the Taliban's summons letter. This is a summons from the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan for Saeed Ghosh Hashimi, and we're going to name about three other individuals. Based on the accurate information of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, you all had worked very closely with the occupying forces of the United States, the American anti-Islamic forces in Bayan province in recent years. Therefore, you are ordered to submit yourself to the nearest field office of the Islamic Emirate, where you will be served to face justice with the legal framework within the legal framework of the Islamic Emirates. It's, of course, a Sharia law. And get this part, because it's never just about the individual in the Islamic world who may have taken the action that the new dictators don't like. Listen to the fear down your spine here. Your failure to surrender yourself will have serious consequences, both to you and your family, as all of you, including your families, will be severely prosecuted and punished under the Islamic law of the Emirate. Regards, Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. And Will, to this date, we honestly don't know how many brave men and women and their families who wanted to stand by, who they saw as freedom fighters, to finally free them from the control of the oppressive Taliban. How many of these individuals are no longer with us because our withdrawal didn't plan the removal of them? You know, we should, if we had to, it would be better to shut down our southern border for a couple of years so that these people were able to get back to the United States, because these would have been people who ultimately were great Americans because they risked their life with our soldiers. These are the kind of immigrants you want in your country. People who did the right thing, and yet we left them behind. And, you know, if this becomes a pattern of the United States of America, guess what happens when we come in, when unfortunately we may have to go into countries like this in the future? And we hope we never do, but we're prepared to always do so. If we do this again, I don't want this blood on our hands as Americans. But right now, this blood is on the hands of Kamala Harris because of that answer on The View. She could have said a couple of things, like that withdrawal should have been better and we should have better treated those who worked with us. We should have had them out before the withdrawal. We should have made sure they had flights as well as their families had flights. And we should have put pressure on the Taliban that if we couldn't get to everyone, if they touched any of them, we'd be right back in Afghanistan blowing up their strongholds so their families would be at risk. Now, I could see a Donald Trump or a Mike Pompeo saying that. You know who I don't see ever saying that? Kamala Harris or laughing and hopping Tim Walz.
That's right, Jordan. And honestly,
because when he's real goofy and gets a lot of things wrong, he's kooky.
That's right. Well, when you
don't
look
want
at
kooky people running our government,
when you look at this letter and this summons, really, and it names those three individuals, the problem here also is that we know that a lot of people, because of the chaos, were able to get on those flights, get out of country that were not vetted at all.
Of course.
It was the worst way to run it. Instead of getting the people that actually did help us, they got a lot of bad actors, including one we'll talk about with Rick Grenell that was arrested in Oklahoma, planning a terror attack on this November 5th, Election Day, to sow chaos in America. He was here on a special immigrant visa from Afghanistan. He fled with the withdrawal, but this wasn't a helper of the United States. This was the chaos of the moment because they didn't have the procedures and the structure in order to get people that they could fully vet out. The unvetted ones got to America, and the people like these that were our helpers were left behind to face execution under Sharia law.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, infuriating that we can just start with that point. But Will, let's keep kind of moving through. We want to take calls to 1-800-684-3110 because this idea that she cannot come up with anything different she would do. I mean, this is the governing style she wants to bring to the White House. So really all we're getting is a younger Joe Biden. We're not going to get real changes. We have someone who can't admit when things could have gone better. This is dangerous for our country because I think any honest elected official, if you were a vice president in administration running for president and you have the benefit of hindsight as 2020, you should be able to answer those questions, not to blame necessarily your predecessor or the current president that you serve, but to say, you know what, we learned a lot there and we learned that didn't work. So under my watch, that will never happen again. So you can take a question that may make you sound weak and actually make you sound tough. And it didn't throw Biden under the bus. It didn't throw yourself under the bus. It said, we have learned on all these issues what we need to do different so it never happens again. But that's not what we're hearing at all from Biden Walz. Go to ACLJ.org. Support the work of our organization. We need your donations. Donate today. After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. So we put together this list because Harris gave this interview with The View saying, is there anything you would do differently from the administration? And she said, no, I can't think of anything. Now, she's not good on the spot, and maybe we're going to come back and get a list of all of these things saying, you know, when I thought about it, you know, these are kind of details, and I didn't have time to go through all of that on a show like The View, but this is what I would have done. I have a feeling we're not going to get that, though. But we did. We kind of put through things that we think most Americans, regardless of what side of the aisle they're on and which political party or who they even may be voting for, would say, you know what, that could have gone better. Almost any decision, when you have the benefit of hindsight, could be made better. But especially the ones that stick out as failures. You should be able to understand what failed. What were the things that we did so wrong that we would correct in the future if ever faced with a similar type of situation. And Will, we're going to start now with immigration.
That's right. And I want to take a call about Absolutely. This right up front. So we've got Joey calling in California on line 5. Joey, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you. And praise you for all the good things you guys do. You know, God will be pleased. You know, when you asked that question, what do you think was the worst thing that they did? It was a very tough question to answer because, there's such a long list. It's amazing. But the first thing that came to my mind was the border because they ship people at night on planes all over the place. And they let in fentanyl. They let in enemies. They let in – and they give them money and our money. It's just been a deadly thing for us. And now they're recruiting illegal aliens to vote, to make sure they're registered and so they will vote. And I mean, there's no end to their bad stuff. It's just, if they were trying to ruin the country, which I believe they are, because that's a Marxist thing, you destabilize, then they couldn't have done a better job. I mean, that's their good job, just destroying our nation.
Unfortunately, the numbers are terrible. I 100% agree with you. It is one of the first categories that we looked at, Jordan, was the border crisis and all of the things that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have done. And, you know, Fox News did a report last month that as many as 7.2 million illegal border crossings have occurred since Biden became president. The number is sadly probably higher because that's just what they can statistically report that they've observed, whether it be gotaways or people that got in custody. But there are unknown numbers in that aren't accounted for in this number. And this was an agenda of the Harris-Biden administration from day one when they got in office and they started undoing executive orders, took away the Remain in Mexico policy, Jordan, and just went through the litany of protections that the Trump administration had put in. And instead of building upon that or finding a better way, if they thought there was a better way, they just undid it with nothing behind it as a backstop.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, the idea here is that they wanted to, you know, take down wall. And then Harris is shown in ads that she ran saying, I'm going to be tough on the border because I was in California. And she showed in her ad an area of border wall that was the most controversial wall put up by President Trump. And it was actually in Arizona, not California. So she was using imagery that they were attacking President Trump over while he was president. Remember they said, oh, he didn't build any new wall? And they were showing all the, as he likes to say, new shiny wall in her ads. So she tries to gaslight on those issues. So what she's going to try to do is, and these ads will be different wherever you live, especially congressional district or state. And they may be different if you're in a big enough state versus what ads you see if you live in the north part of the state or the southern part of the state or the eastern or the western. And of course, if you're in states like us, you're probably not going to see a lot of them at all because they've just written off those states. And proud of that, that I live in a state that Harris and Waltz have had to write off. But the idea behind this is she has no plan for border security. In fact, I believe her goal for border security doesn't exist. I think she is willing to trade the fentanyl for the illegal immigrants because long-term, they believe that those illegal immigrants will in fact become legal Americans who will then owe their allegiance not just to the United States, but to the Democrat Party that they will remind them for the rest of their lives was the party that let them in the country even that when it was illegal for them to be there and ultimately got them their citizenship. So far, legislation like that, Will, has only happened one time in the 1980s, and it backfired for President Reagan. I don't know that we'd even see legislation like that right in our future, but if they're playing that game, betting with human beings, which is, you could do a whole show on that, the idea that we're going to bet with human beings for political purposes, it just shows you the fact that the number one killer of people between the ages of 18 and 39 is not illegal immigrants. It's the drugs they're smuggling across.
And Jordan, you bring that up. We actually have a caller on line six. This is Phil from New York who's listening on Alexa, which is cool. Yes. Phil, you're on the air. Welcome to Seculo.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I agree completely with a woman from California. Kamala Harris has opened the door and rolled out the red carpet to a tidal wave of gang members, gang organizers, human traffickers, murderers, and rapists. This will do more harm to our civilization in the long term than Pearl Harbor or 9/11.
And Phil brings up the point of the gangs. We see what happened in Denver, Colorado, with the apartment complexes being taken over. You see the tragedies of young women that are killed, like the student at Georgia, in Athens, Georgia. You think about all of these things, and when you, it's almost a terrible situation when some sort of horrific crime happens on the news, and it plays out almost the same way every time, that it was someone that was in the country illegally. And you see that Mayor Adams in New York, who's now dealing with federal indictments, and his claim is that it was because he stood up to the Biden administration against their policies on the border. The judicial system will sort that out, whether or not there are crimes or not. But the weaponization, I think, is another big failure. And what we've seen is that the Department of Justice has unfortunately decided to start going after people when they do push back on the administration. And it's a very timely indictment of the mayor of New York very shortly before an election on corruption crimes when he was a critic of the administration.
Yeah, I mean, they've done it to Bob Menendez twice because he's been a critic of the Iranian nuclear deal. So he's always faced their wrath. Democrats who are willing to step out the line, remember how they completely tried to destroy our colleague Tulsi Gabbard because she was willing to stand up against some Democrat ideas and make her voice known as she represented her constituents. So again, it's a time when, remember, we are fighting corruption in court, in Congress, in politics. But to continue and increase these vital legal and policy efforts, we need your support. Support our efforts to fight government corruption by becoming an ACLJ champion. Make a monthly recurring donation, a number that works right for your budget, at aclj.org/champions. We need you. We need your support today.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rennell will be joining us in the second half hour of the broadcast. He'll take questions, too. We've been taking a lot of questions today and comments at 1-800-684-3110. We'll tell people what we're asking them to call about because there's no wrong answers here. We just want your thoughts and opinions as we get closer and closer to Election Day, where many people are already casting their votes.
That's right. We're asking you, the listener or the viewer, what do you think the worst failure of the Biden administration has been, the Biden-Harris administration, I should add, especially in light of her saying that she would have done nothing differently over the last 3.5 years. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air. But there's a call I think we should take because this one actually was not on our list. It's a glaring one that I missed. I will fully take credit for the missing this one. But Michael from Washington, you've got a good failure, but you have a something to highlight for us. On line three, you're on Seculo.
Thank you for taking my call. With me, it started with the closure of the Keystone Pipeline, and then which, you know, good paying jobs. And we have some of the strictest standards in that area in the world, and that to be shut down, and then everything else with the inflation and you can't buy as much as you used to. That to me is up there because someone needs to go around and show these inner cities. There's one big one in Washington. If you want to find out what not to do on the left. And I think the economy in general, just seeing people hurt. I see a lot of hurt people, lots. You think they take some of that money from the Green New Steel, even a half or a quarter, and try to make an effort to improve Americans' lives. And I find that very, that's just, to me, that's just not right. And
Michael, you do bring up, led off with the Keystone Pipeline and the energy policy, which is the level that I didn't have in my list. But we do talk about the spiraling amount of debt in Americans' lives, inflation and the cost of living, which you also hit on. And yeah, I think that one for most Americans, that's what you end up voting on. You end up voting on the economy. If you can go to the store and buy the same amount of groceries that you could 3.5 years ago and it not be half your paycheck, that is a very real situation. And that is what, you know, it's the economy stupid was the old adage from back in the Bush years. And unfortunately, what we're looking at here is a spiraling economy. They've done nothing to really help it. We had record inflation. And when they try to say we've got inflation back down, remember, that doesn't mean that the prices go down. That means there's still inflation because our system is built upon a roughly 2% inflation number that they try to target. And that's a whole different discussion about the debt economy and what we live in. But when it was at 9% peaking for so long, those prices don't come down. They stay at the inflated prices and then just grow more slowly as the inflation rate comes down. Right. But a lot of the high prices are here to stay because of the Biden-Harris policies.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, when you look at all of these issues, whether it's the economy, when it started off right off the bat, that was the first move they made. It was the Mexico City policy, cutting off the Keystone Pipeline. And, of course, the demonization of the courts, that we haven't gotten to the demonization of the rule of law, unless you're using against your political opponents. The idea that lawfare is an acceptable way to try and attack your leading opponents, even in a presidential election, that this is the country we want to be in. But we fight back at the ACLJ. And so we need you to help fight back because we've got to be prepared for whatever outcome comes our way on Election Day. Do we know the results? Do we have to keep fighting in court? Are we going to be up against a very hostile administration or one that's ready again to work closely with us? We have to be prepared for all scenarios. We need you. Donate today, ACLJ.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation. All right, folks, welcome back to Seculo, and keep your calls up, because today we've gone through, kind of played off what Harris said on The View yesterday, which is there's nothing I would have changed from the Biden administration. Even looking back with, you know, the hindsight that you had of the Afghan withdrawal or some of the economic moves or decisions that were made domestically, decisions that were made internationally. I mean, you're trying to run strong on the border, but you're using Donald Trump's border wall in your campaign ads. So maybe, you know, try and differentiate yourself from Biden. But she doesn't do that, and she even admits, you know, on the big issues like Afghanistan, she's the last person in the room. So I want to go to Rick Rennell, who's, of course, a member of our team here at the American Center for Law and Justice and is former acting director of national intelligence. Because, Rick, what we are hearing now is that, especially it was reported in The Hill, that the Democrats are starting to hit the panic button, not so much on the polls yet, because the polls are showing a very divided country, and I think that's what national polls will show throughout this election. But when they go and look in their data, they kind of see a spike by Harris, and that spike has kind of petered off, stayed around the same place, but it's not increasing. They're not adding to the individuals. They're not adding to those polling numbers.
Yeah, look, I think it's every single group is beginning to break for Donald Trump. And that's remarkable. You look at independents, young people, Arab Americans, Jews, evangelicals, women, suburban women, they're literally growing for Trump. And I think that people see two escalating wars. They see an open border and they see grocery prices and gas prices. It's going to take Kamala Harris a lot of money and a lot of convincing to try to tell people that somehow things are better under her administration. And I think what The View did was really solidify the problem that the Harris campaign has, which is they're trying to be schizophrenic. They're trying to run away from Joe Biden while trying to still get the base out. And the base is progressives who believe that Joe Biden did the right thing by stepping back because he was going to lose. But then they have this problem because they didn't really have a competition. And so people are beginning to panic within the Democratic Party that they handed this nomination to Kamala Harris, and she hasn't been able to do well. I mean, some people are even saying that Joe Biden would be doing better than Kamala Harris.
Rick, we talked earlier about the failure in the Afghanistan withdrawal, and I actually want to take a call about that because we have a caller that's asking about kind of the difference between what the Trump plan, the Trump team, the administration was doing, working towards a withdrawal, and the disaster that we saw unfold under the Biden administration. So let's go to Kathy on line four from Maryland. Kathy, you're on Seculo talking with Jordan, Rick Grinnell, and myself.
Yes, well, thank you. My question, I'm an independent, and I'm retired now, I have time to think out loud, and I don't understand why, as a country, we couldn't work together to do that Afghanistan implementation. People died, I think, from a lack of working together. Why does it be so cut and dried and you hand the ball over? My understanding is there were some things that could have been shored up before President Trump left or worked together to make a smoother transition, and that the timeline was too tight. I'm not absolving Biden, but they're coming into COVID and everything else going on. Why can't we work as Americans? I'm just so frustrated. I think you have an excellent show. I'm listening to you again because you're excellent people. I know that, but I don't agree with everything. But on this one thing, I realize, to me, there was an opportunity to work across the line to get those people home safely.
Kathy, thank you for calling and asking that question. And I'm going to go to Rick because Rick was in the administration and can speak to this much better than I or Jordan could because he was there.
Kathy, it's such an excellent question. Thank you for that. And I think your frustration is shared by a lot of people. But let me just correct the record on a couple of things that the media always gets wrong. One is that there's no question that Donald Trump wanted to get out of Afghanistan. And he would say to the Pentagon and to military officials in Afghanistan, let's get out. Let's get out. We don't need to be there. He had, in his mind, an immediate withdrawal. He wanted to get out. But he listened to the boots on the ground, the generals, the experts. I was in the Oval Office when they would say, Mr. President, we're going as fast as we can. We need to make sure that we don't abandon the situation. We can't just have an arbitrary deadline and pull out. There's no question that Donald Trump was frustrated by that pushback, but he listened to them. He didn't say, I don't care, we're getting out. So Trump put in motion the goal of getting out, but he kept listening to the boots on the ground who were saying, go slower, go slower, go slower. And when Biden came in, he didn't do that. He kept to this deadline, which kept moving. The deadline kept moving, according to the information on the ground from the experts. But Biden was saying that he wanted to be out by September 11th, which was a big anniversary. And he didn't listen to the people on the ground. He absolutely just pushed forward and had the political people win. When you talk about working together and why couldn't we work together to have a smoother transition out of Afghanistan, and Donald Trump did that. He wasn't happy about it all the time. He wasn't happy that the experts on the ground were saying we need to go a little bit slower, but he listened to them and he adjusted his timeline. And then second, very quickly, what I'll say, Kathy, is that if you're looking for somebody who wants to work across the aisle, who wants to work with people, and who is willing to criticize their own party and not just do party politics, then Donald Trump is your guy, because Donald Trump criticizes Republicans as much as he criticizes Democrats.
Rick, I wanted to ask you, because I think Election Day and leading up to Election Day, they're going to try to make voters scared. I mean, I think they're going to try to make people who didn't vote early or didn't vote absentee almost afraid to possibly go and stand in line at the, at their voting locations. So we start hearing stories about an Afghan man in Oklahoma plotting an Election Day terror attack in the U.S. on behalf of ISIS. That was by the Justice Department. And I'm not saying, listen, I'm glad that they are putting this information out there and they are apprehending these individuals. But it does kind of show you that this election feels very different from an election 4 years ago, when we see the protesting in the streets again, that the pro-Palestinian protests, and we see even this latest arrest in a place like Oklahoma which doesn't have a lot of really close elections on election day, and yet still trying to kind of make the American people, I think, afraid to go and vote. We don't want to ever become one of those countries where you're afraid to go and vote because you may lose your life.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. This story makes me very angry, because we've been saying for 4 years that we are a very welcoming society. America is very generous. The American people are very generous. We give 1 million people a year, roughly, citizenship. And we welcome first-generation Americans who have been vetted, who do it legally. We are America. We get to vet who comes in, and we get to bring the brightest and the best. And we have a policy under this administration to not be properly vetting. They're rushing people through. I know this. I was U.S. ambassador to Germany. They set up an operation in Frankfurt with Afghan refugees. They were busing them in and flying them in from all places in Europe. And they were trying to get people through the system. And when they didn't have proper information, identification, or paperwork, the supervisors were told, just get them in. And I will tell you, I've talked to individuals in Germany who are a part of this process, and they felt like they were being jammed, that they couldn't do their job. They weren't able to properly vet. And that's what makes me angry, because the State Department has some amazing people who are experts at vetting. And we call it consular affairs. They're very good at understanding who's lying or who doesn't have proper paperwork. And they do a good job. We need to not undermine them and undermine the vetting process with political people who just say, shove them in, get them in. That's wrong.
You know, Rick, I just want to give you, we got about a minute left here, and I know you understand the importance of the work of the ACLJ, that, you know, it's work right now, but also we're one of those organizations that doesn't stop working on election day. In fact, we kind of take our work, we're prepared to take our work to the next level on the days leading up to election day and the days following election day. And we always tell folks that can be some of the busiest times at the ACLJ, especially when you have polls in key states showing a vote that or showing polls that are so close within a margin of error, that the work of the ACLJ, it's not just about getting to election day, it's about getting to ultimately who won on the election day by following the laws of the U.S.
Yeah, look, we've got to have our supporters realize that we take action. We don't talk. We take action. We got amazing lawyers. We got amazing people support us, because it's a very good organization that actually puts the money where their mouth is.
The work of the ACLJ, folks. Donate today at ACLJ.org. Stand with Rick. Stand with us.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
All right, folks, welcome back to Seculo. And as we said, we're going to get to your phone calls now because we put together a list of where we think Harris could have just at least started from. Maybe he couldn't have even hit all of them in one interview on The View, or even in a broadcast like this where we've had a full hour to talk with you, because each one of them goes so much deeper to bigger issues. And Melissa from South Carolina is calling on one that we have not gotten to yet. So, Melissa, we appreciate you being a champion for the ACLJ. You're listening and watching on Rumble. Let us know what you think should be added to this list.
Hi, Jordan and Will. I think what should be added to this list is the Harris's attack on the church and the pro-life movement, on God. She's definitely followed the Karl Marx plan, number one rule, obliterate God. If you notice, in all churches around the UK and France and Denmark, where they've attacked the church first, even in China, they attack the church, the Christians, and then chaos explodes. Her attack has been under the radar, so to speak, but she started it when she was in California, and she's proliferated that with Joe Biden in this administration, but you don't see much about it in the news. And that's what I think is the number one problem.
And Melissa, you're right. And that falls under the weaponization of the Department of Justice and federal agencies. It's one of the main reasons why there is that subcommittee under the Judiciary Committee in the House that is investigating these things. And what we have seen come out is that what they first tried to tell us was a single memo in the Richmond field office. But then we learned, oh, no, actually, it was a bunch of field offices coordinating together. But don't worry, it didn't go any further than that. And then we found out, no, they were pushing to get this as a standardized memo across the entire Department of Justice. And this is where they were actually putting FBI informants and spies within what they considered radical traditional Catholic churches. So they were picking on specific sects of the Catholic Church that they wanted to target and get informants on because they were concerned they may be domestic extremists or terrorists. And so they wanted to spy on the churches. They wanted informants. But it goes much worse than that. When you looked at that memo, their rationale wasn't because they thought they were planning some plot or something like that they had intel on. They were concerned about the 2024 election. They said that. They said in the memo, because of big decisions like the Dobbs decision. So if you're pro-life, watch out. Or other the open border, then these people could become radicalized heading into the 2024 election. They were spying on Americans of faith because of their concern over the failed policies of the Biden-Harris administration. The DOJ was weaponized against people of faith, Christians, that had opinions about the policy failures of the Biden-Harris administration. But you also remember they went after sidewalk counselors. They lost in court after doing a raid on a pro-life sidewalk counselor's house that he defended his son, who was shoved by another protester in the middle of Pennsylvania. They did an early morning raid on his house with guns drawn. And then the DOJ lost that in court because they tried to charge him with the FACE Act. And they couldn't even win it, but they still went after that. They tried to send a chilling effect to sidewalk counselors. And we've seen that across the board. Yet those that vandalize pro-life resource centers, where are those indictments? Any person who had ever been to Washington, D.C. and claimed that they're a January 6th rioter, but yet if you specifically firebombed a PRC, no indictments that I've seen.
No. I mean, I think that there were a handful of people that were picked up. I have no idea where they are in the process, if they got slaps on the wrist, but obviously it didn't account for all of the people that had engaged in those massive amount of attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers and churches as well. Let's go back to the phones again. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Ronald, South Carolina, on line two. He's watching on Rumble. Hey, Ronald, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. One of the things I think Will hit on for a little bit, and that was the executive orders. There were like 17 or 20 executive orders that literally almost attempted to erase Trump from out of the White House and out of Washington. And because of all those executive orders, it literally just turned our nation upside down and literally put the entire world in a war zone.
And really, it was that first 100 days of the Biden administration where they tried to undo basically anything that President Trump had done. And it goes back to that caller, Jordan, from Maryland that called earlier with Rick, asking about why didn't the two administrations work more together in the transition period when it comes to things like Afghanistan? Well, frankly, it's because the Biden team didn't want to. They wanted to undo everything. They wanted to do the opposite of everything the Trump administration had done. So there was no opportunity for working together.
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, this is what we saw is this idea that you make your opponents out to be enemies. So it's impossible to work together if you are going to walk the line of the administration. I mean, I can count on one hand, and it doesn't even fill up a hand, of the number of Democrats I feel like I could work with across the aisle on a handful of issues, because we both respect each other enough that we might not agree on everything, but some issues are bigger than that and could do that. And we've not been afraid to highlight those members on broadcasts like this, because that's how America ultimately has to function. You're not going to get 100% Republicans in the House or 100% Republicans in the Senate. You're not always going to like every decision your Republican president makes 100% of the time. So you want people in the House and in the Senate and even inside the executive branch to almost be a check there when they can be, and to try and influence policies the correct way with the president and vice president of the United States. We got one more call. Can we get to it, Will?
Let's get to Annabelle. Let's do it. Annabelle from California, you're on Seculo.
Finishing out the day, Annabelle.
Hi, I'm going to be real, real fast. What you just said, Jordan, make your opponents to be enemies. The problem is there's a little dot, dot, dot to that, which is make Americans your enemy. It says make your opponents to be your enemies. Is that what you said? Yeah. And they also say make your enemies to be friends. And that's what happened. I just want to quickly go the most important points to me. You already covered. Melissa was fabulous. That was the church. Afghanistan, they only care about optics. He promised that all the troops would be home by 9/11. He didn't care about anything else. That's what they're all about. It's always about optics. They were hanging the young sons of people who the interpreters, they had their tongues cut out. I don't want to go into how disgusting it is. They left it, and then they had the nerve to say that the Americans left behind, oh, they were the ones that wanted to stay. They wanted to stay. I mean, these people are so disgusting. The other thing I wanted to mention, Putin going in. Stupid Biden, excuse me, I apologize, I don't want to insult people. Biden said, you can go in a little way. Do you give a rabbit, a dog, a steak, and then say, oh, you're not going to kill anybody, you're not going to eat anybody else or bite anybody else? Of course not. You don't tell Putin, you can go in a little bit, because Putin owned him. But that's the whole of your
story. That's all I'm saying, Annabelle. He followed the Obama approach. Let him take Crimea. We'll draw a red line. He'll take it. But maybe he'll stop there. Did he stop there? No. He immediately opened up a shooting war in eastern Ukraine. The shooting war that then began the larger Ukraine-Russia war. Both of those conflicts you can blame directly on President Obama, Vice President Biden at the time, and President Biden and Vice President Harris. There's one person I think who can turn it around, President Trump. But he's got to have a mandate to do it. And you got to support our work, because we have to be ready to fight. Donate today at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.